Mary's got a praise.
Yeah, they heard a praise already, but you didn't hear it. I want you to hear this. My grandson, Hayden, I always ask him, does anybody at school ever bully you? And he said, no, Grandma. I said, anybody bully you? Anytime, come and let me know. Last week, a week before last, he came to me, and he was crying, and he said, these kids were bullying him. I said, really? It's okay. This is what you do. When you go back to school tomorrow, when they start bullying you and going on crazy, and just start laughing. I mean, laugh. Ha, ha. I tell him how to laugh. I said, laugh like that. They think you're nuts, okay? You laugh. He came and said, Grandma, it works. I asked him this morning, did anybody bully? He said, oh, they stop bullying me. I mean, I did that a couple of years ago with my other grandson. He told me that the kids were bullying him. I told him exactly what to do. I said, laugh. He's the one who told him, go talk to Grandma. She'll tell you what to do. He right. And if the devil can't get you to get mad, what do you use? Just leave you alone. See? So, and it works. And then, listen to this one. This is beautiful. He was in the bus, and he said the Spirit of God told him to not to sit in the back of the bus. He normally sit there, sit in the middle of the bus. You never believe what happened. There were two guys in the back shooting empty bottles. And he saw like a gun, and they got in big trouble. He said, Grandma, God spoke to me. Tell me not to sit there. Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah.
It is.
5 years old.
It is.
Yes.
It is.
You get me all excited.
You know, I don't know how much truth is in it because I couldn't find, it's not in the Bible or anything, but in the American West, Native Americans, at least legend says that most of the tribes would not mess with anybody that was crazy.
That's correct.
They didn't want anything to do with them. They would leave them alone, no attacks, no scalping, no nothing. If they were thought to be crazy, they wouldn't touch him.
David did that in the Old Testament.
Yeah, David got away with it too. That's probably where Mary came up with it. Yeah, it got him out of a jam or two.
That is one of the self-defense tactics that they tell women to do. Somebody grabs them, just act like you're having a fit or like you're insane.
Yeah. Yeah, it would kind of shake you up a little bit, I guess. But, all right, who else? Vicki does.
We have family in for the weekend, unexpectedly. So I'm
okay. Yeah. Now this is praise time.
Thank you, Pastor.
Not prayer time.
No, I'm teasing.
I'm praising God for the wonderful things that are going to happen.
Okay, all right, amen. Sherry, what's your praise?
Oh, I wasn't.
Praises. You have hair to mess with, and you get. Yeah, that's a praise.
Yeah.
I don't have any hair to play with.
Well, praise God for being here.
Yeah, amen. Amen. Anybody else? I got to tell you this praise. We're always talking about things that God is doing, and it's just obvious. But I can't ever get Charles in Sunday school, so he could tell you himself. But he was hunting in a stand, and instead of deer, he had raccoons running all over the place. There were five of them, and one of them was in the tree next to him, which is like 4 or 5 feet away, and stayed there in that tree for the whole time he was in the stand. And it was acting really weird, and the raccoon would jump down out of the tree and land on the ground and scurry around down there and then run back up the tree. And he did that several times. And so when it was getting dark and the deer had winded him and it was no point in staying out there any longer, he gets down out of the stand, and the raccoon comes down on the ground, and he wasn't more than 4 or 5 feet away from him anyway, and now he's just sitting there only 3 feet away. And, you know, just sitting there, being nice, and he's looking at this raccoon. He's a wild creature, and he couldn't figure out why he's not afraid of him and why, you know. And so the raccoon is looking on the ground and then looks back up at him. Did this 3 times, according to the story. And I have no reason to doubt him because he did this 3 times. And so Charles starts looking to see what he's looking at. And what he's looking at is a 3-foot coiled up copperhead sitting right there where Charles was getting ready to step.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow. Thank you, Jesus.
Wow. Thank you, Lord.
Now you tell me how a wild raccoon is going to act like that.
Yeah, the Lord did that, man.
That's God.
as something normal or natural that it would do. You can say what you want. And that's not the first time that something like that has happened to him out there, like doing that. But that's quite a story. And it's, you know, people say, well, that's just not, you know, that's, well, let me tell you something. That's the Lord. That's what he does.
Just say thank you, Lord, and don't try to explain it.
Yes. And it just is. Jamie?
It was just like the story of Balaam and the donkey. I mean, except the donkey talked.
Yeah. Well, the raccoon sort of kind of did. He told him what he needed to know.
Yeah. Why did you hit me, you dumb?
That's just pretty amazing. You know, that's why these praises are so special and why they're such value. The things that the Lord does, the little details that he's doing in our lives all the time, they're amazing.
Precious.
Just to get your mind wrapped around the same one, you know, how many universes, not how many, how big is the universe, but there's an innumerable amount of universes that they're now seeing that's out there. What God say? He said, my thinking, my thoughts are higher than the heavens are above the earth, above your thoughts and your ways. And the same one who made that, spoke it into existence, sends a little masked bandit messenger to keep Charles from getting snake bit.
That's right.
Raccoons are smart. I used to have one for a pet.
I did too. One growing up, I had one for a pet. They're smart and they have a mischievous streak in them that is just about yay wide. But
well, hey, wait a minute, Pastor. Maybe the Lord was saving the snake.
Actually, I'm pretty sure it wasn't that, because the snake became dinner for the raccoon family. Once he saw him, he dispatched him pretty shortly therewith. But you hear things like that. The phone rings and you end up late for your appointment. You have no idea what God did for you during that situation. But sometimes, just sometimes, once in a while, you actually get to see it. And it blows you away, John?
Yeah, I saw that one time. I was picking somebody up, and they stopped and paused for a few seconds to get into the car. And then they got in the car, and then we went through this intersection. And if they wouldn't have paused for 2 seconds, I would have got T-boned at this intersection. And me and the guy were both like, wow, because we were coming up to a green light. This car just blew through just inches away from us.
That happened to you, too.
Yeah, I've... Yeah, it's just, you know, I've been playing senior softball, and I have to go over on Red Bluff. And I usually go down Bay Area and turn left on Red Bluff. Well, but Bay Area and Red Bluff is the scene where the guy was coming through 80 miles an hour, and I was coming through at 60 miles an hour, and we hit. And we hit exactly to the inch of what it would take to spin the truck instead of kill me or him. And both of us walked away without a scratch. And the kid's been out all night. He's getting in trouble. And when the police show, guess who's the police chaplain that's riding with the guy that shows up? It's his pastor. So, yeah, I mean, these little things. And how many times has God done that and you didn't see it? And you didn't know anything about it?
But both of those trucks were totaled, too. And yours was huge.
Yeah. Mine was totaled, and I had a big ranch hand bumper on a one-ton diesel, and it blew that F-150 into pieces all over the place. I mean, rear axle and wheels over here. The bed is over there. The rest of the body is turned up over here with other pieces laying everywhere, you know, about the size of our auditorium. And the kid has no seatbelt, no shoes, no shirt, and he walks out of what used to be the windshield that's laying on its side, and he walks out without a scratch.
Wow.
That's just, yeah.
Speaking of wrecks, I know last week John asked for y'all to pray for our friend who was in a wreck and in the hospital. Well, she's out. So,
yeah.
She's home. Lots of praise.
It is not safe to live without the Lord's in your life.
Amen.
just not. Jamie.
I just want to share an incredible story, too. It was really cool. Right here on 45 and 517, as you're coming under the overpass, the light turns green on the other side first, then this one turns green, which is red. I happened to run the red light because I thought it was green because I was looking at the other one. And when I turned to my left, I seen all these cars coming at me. So I cringed, getting ready for the impact. Next thing I know, when I close my eyes, next thing I know, I'm at the other side of the freeway, waiting for passing the green light. I don't know how it happened. And I looked in my mirror, all those cars were passing by already. And that was kind of a weird situation.
You know how things happen and you go, oh, man, the Lord's, might be the Lord saving us. Like, for example, due to wet fields, no softball games today. Text just came in. So I guess the Lord will be saving me from some other kind of injury today that I don't know about yet. Yeah, probably saving you with your foot thing because you'd play anyway. All right, anybody else? We're going to get to some cool stuff to learn today. All right.
You got a real good story to tell. You just won't do it.
Well, just in this traffic thing, we were GPS,
Yeah.
We missed our turn off, and we got down in downtown Houston in the bad part of town.
Oh.
And I say, turn here, because they had told us to turn on the street where it was before. And I told him to turn on the one-way street that was going the wrong direction.
Let me talk about that. In our operation, I'm at the wheel. Patricia's driving.
I'm driving. Anyway, there's all this traffic, but the first car was a policeman, and he just turned on his lights and stopped everybody and let us turn around. And we were freaking out because we're in a bad part of town. We don't know where we are.
And did not give you a ticket, did he?
Yeah, and he just waved us on, let us turn around.
We had the secret police handshake.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go again. I mean, the Lord he does not sleep. That seventh day of rest has lasted a really long time.
Yes.
So, yeah, he's taking care of us for sure, for sure. All right, Proverbs. We got a couple of verses left in chapter 25 that we're going to talk about for just a minute. And I think they're going to be pretty easy to understand. They're metaphors. Many of Proverbs, the illustration, are metaphors. There are all kinds of different things he says. But this is verse 27 of chapter 25. And it says, it is not good to eat much honey, so for men to search their own glory is not glory. It is not good to eat much honey. First of all, tell me what that metaphor is mean. Is this verse about honey?
No.
Is it about eating?
No.
So what's it about?
Thinking too much of yourself?
It says it's not good to eat much honey. So what's it really about?
Not good to think too highly of yourself?
Don't read your own press.
Well, yeah. Yeah, well, just the first part, just the metaphor. What's it talking about? Got good to eat much honey.
And you don't indulge yourself.
Indulging, yeah.
Too much of a good thing.
Too much, there it is right there. Too much of a good thing. Honey's used as a metaphor in other places, like verse 16 of chapter 25. Hast thou found honey? Some of you grew up in the woods. Anybody ever find honey? A bee tree. Smoke out the bees.
Found it in the house one time.
Yeah. Cut the tree down and get the honey. Hast thou found honey? Eat so much as is sufficient for thee, lest thou be filled therewith and vomit it.
There.
Too much of a good thing. Now, what does that apply to?
Everything.
Yeah, it applies to everything. Too much of a good thing. Fishing is a good thing. But too much fishing, you don't get your work done.
That's right.
Anything. Yes, Vicki.
I know I've said this before, but my mother paraphrased it very well, and I grew up with everything in moderation, including moderation.
Yeah.
What?
Don't overdo it. Don't even overdo the fact that you're trying to not overdo it.
that understanding that starts some headache, so I'm going to leave that alone for now. So for men to search their own glory is not glory.
It's not our glory.
It's tooting your own horn.
Yeah, there it is. John's got it. Yeah. Tooting your own horn.
Pride, right?
Well, that usually is the cause of it. Or a desire to be famous or known or... Any, you know any examples of that?
I just know if someone's saying how great they are, I'm less likely to believe them than if other people are telling me how great that other person is, you know, like word of mouth.
Yeah, yeah. A resume. Ever happen when people write a resume, you suppose?
Oh, yeah.
I hate resumes.
Josh and then Jamie.
I love the man to death, but Trump. Trump loves Trump.
Yeah.
And wants to be known by everyone.
Yeah. Well, you know what they say in Texas, though.
What's that?
It ain't bragging if you can do it. Go ahead, James.
I find that a lot at work. You know, like you're saying, the resume. We had a guy who came to be a number one painter. Turns out that he's probably number four. You know, but... he can only do a certain type of painting. He couldn't do everything, like he was claiming. When I took him to train him, he didn't know a lot of stuff that he claimed to know. So he was actually trying to impress people where, you know, to do something so he could get the job. And, I mean, he got the job, but it wasn't because, you know, he made it through. But when you put him to the test, he didn't know what he was doing.
Yeah.
You know.
All right, Lisa?
I think sometimes Christians forget when they're excited about something they got to repair or something, and they'll say, I did this, and I did this, and I figured out this and this, instead of saying, God showed me this, and God showed me that.
Yeah. Taking glory that really is not yours. Yeah. Glory is a big deal. You know, we would want to downplay it because it's usually motivated by pride. But glory is a big deal. How concerned is God with his glory?
Very.
Very. He deserves it.
He deserves it.
He's very concerned with his glory. And not willing to share it, by the way. My glory will I not give to another.
That's right.
He's a jealous God.
That's why we don't do Easter Bunny and Santa Claus, frankly. There's some other things we don't do because of that. That's why my name and credentials aren't on the sign out there. All kinds of things are going to change if you pay attention to what this is teaching.
Yeah.
That's why we do truth in
all kinds of things. For men to search their own glory is not glory. Mark.
So does one bring on the other? Think about that, right? If, you know, it's not good to eat too much honey. I mean, they're together. It's a sentence. I mean, it's
Yeah, and that was really the next question. So how is this metaphor connected? It's maybe not good to take too much credit.
But I think if you're searching for much, you know, a lot of times
It's a fine line. Should you receive credit for what you do?
Things are bad. Things are both.
If you're doing it for the Lord, then I mean, like if you're up there singing a worship song for the Lord, you don't want any credit for that. You want it to all be God.
Yes and no.
I mean, I don't.
How does it work, and where's the line?
Yeah.
Does God give us credit for what we do?
Yes.
Oh yes,
He does.
Sherry, what do you think?
Being a godly person and acting like a godly person and everything helps reach out to other people.
Okay.
Like your music, you're doing it for God, but we can see that you're doing it for God, and it shows other people how to live their life not for themselves but for God.
Okay. Mark?
So I think it's important to feel good about what you do, right?
Yeah.
So I think that's where the fine line is. I mean, you can feel good about what you do, but... how you broadcast it to others, I think that's...
All right. I walked into a conversation without realizing what I was doing, and folks were signing a card this morning, so didn't take a rocket scientist to figure out what that was about. Well, there's the card now. Just look at it. So, okay.
So, I read verse 25, Proverbs 25, 27 from American Standard Version. It's not good to eat much honey, so for men to search out their own glory is grievous.
Okay. Well, that's...
To me, it gave me a better understanding of what you're doing.
Yeah. It's just... I like this one particularly because it isn't real glory.
That's right.
If you have to do it yourself, there's no glory. Yeah, that's exactly right. Vicki?
I was reading last night about Solomon and about the part where, you know, God said, I'll give you whatever you want. You know, ask whatever you want and I'll give to thee. And Solomon asked for wisdom. Solomon didn't say, well, you know, God, I'm so great and I'm so wonderful, you know, and then, you know, you picked me above everyone else to build your temple. So he says, you know, but he asked for wisdom. So because his heart was in the right place, God gave him everything.
Yeah. You got two situations here from Scripture. One of those situations is that honor to whom honor is due and tribute to whom tribute is due. There is a place for those who do the job to be honored. And you wouldn't have it any other way, would you? If you do something really well, you want to be rewarded for that. And that's the way God says it should be done. Pastors that rule well are to be worthy of what?
Praise.
No, that's not what it says. Keep the praise. Give me the money. That's what it says, double honor. And the word honor is time-e. It means payment given. Right? So tribute to whom tribute due, honor to whom honor due. Folks ought to get paid rightly for what they do, both in recognition and especially in payment that is proper and right. Yet, if you demand it, if you have to force it, if you have to make it happen yourself, there's no honor in that. There's no glory in that. How many times are glory and honor used together as a package? Much in the Scripture. Go ahead, Mark.
So I think also it goes the opposite way where, well, maybe it's not the opposite way, it's exactly the same thing. Where in politics, where one administration blames the other one but takes credit for all the good stuff that the other...
Oh, man, this is... If you try to apply these proverbs to politics, the first thing you're going to learn is politicians have never read Proverbs. Yeah. Either that or they just don't believe it because they don't practice anything that's in here virtually. Before we go on to this other thing, how is verse 28 connected to verse 27? He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. What might someone who does not have rule over his own spirit, what's that mean anyway?
They just run amok?
No.
Okay.
No discipline?
No discipline, no what else?
Self-control.
That's what he's talking about here, isn't it? Pretty easy to see. A person with no self-control is likely to go around tooting his own horn.
Like I just started to tell me once, don't let your hummingbird mouth overload your alligator's butt.
Yeah, well.
Alligator mouth overload your hummingbird butt. My bad. You see my point?
I think I do. You need to have self-control. You need to run the program when it comes to horn tooting, when it comes to running your mouth like a bridle. You know what James said, and he was dead right, that your mouth is the most destructive enemy.
Deadly, poisonous.
Yes.
It's the worst part of us. The worst part of us. Okay. A city broken down and without walls. That, you have no defense. Mark?
Yeah, so I think this really goes, to me, this really goes well with the thought of if someone says something negative, you could say something negative. You're not controlling your own spirit if you say
right.
Something negative
yeah.
back, right?
Yeah.
It just continues to escalate and never really stops,
yeah.
right?
Actually, God's going to have a whole lot to say about that in the next chapter. You're dead on with that. Okay. All right. We're ready for an adventure into chapter 26. Better like it. We might be there a year. You never know. Around here, you never know. The first section of chapter 26 are about one particular kind of person. First 12 verses are about someone known as the fool. There's a lot said about a fool in the Bible. I mean, and Proverbs has several different sections of verses that are all just about what a fool is, how a fool acts, why you shouldn't be one, how not to be one. There are just some statements made here that are pretty profound, as snow in summer. Where's snow in summer? Is it supposed to snow in summer? No, it's not supposed to snow in summer. And rain in harvest. Is it supposed to rain in harvest? Well, it will, but you don't want it to. What he's illustrating is things that do not fit. As snow in summer and rain is harvest, so honor is not seemly for a fool.
There are also things that are destructive. And if you get rain in harvest, you get snow in the summer, it destroys the natural order.
Yeah, it just doesn't work. It just doesn't fit. There are a lot of fools that would really be looking hard for some honor. Matter of fact, he's going to get into all that. Okay, so next sex verse. As the bird by wandering and the swallow by flying. This one is not so much about a fool, but it's almost like that it switched gears to another subject, then he's going to come back. But that doesn't really happen. These are relative. And it's up to us to study and figure out how they're related. As the bird by wandering and the swallow by flying. You ever watch a swallow fly?
Yeah, it goes everywhere.
Describe it.
It doesn't fly straight.
He doesn't fly straight, and he doesn't seem to have a GPS or a plan.
Yeah.
He's just going every which way. Yeah, he's darting around, and he does actually have a plan. He's planning to eat those mosquitoes he's chasing. And it's the bird by wandering. Now, that bird, if you look up that Hebrew word, you'll find out that it's primarily referring to the sparrow that is very popular populace in Jerusalem. They have a sparrow over there that they're all over the place, or at least used to be. I didn't really notice when I was there about the sparrows. Did anybody else look for sparrows while you were in Jerusalem?
No,
I didn't either, but oh well. I would now if I went over there again. But the bird by wandering, and a sparrow and a swallow do have that in common. They both, you know, they're just flitting every which way. So the curse causeless shall not come. That's enough to give you a headache.
So the curse is coming for a reason.
The curse comes for a reason. Now, the bird wanders for a reason, and the swallow flies crazy for a reason because he's trying to catch mosquitoes. I suppose the sparrow is probably trying to catch him a mosquito too. You know, I mean, that's what they eat, bugs. So they have a reason for what they're doing, even though they look like maybe they're not. So the curse causeless shall not come. Do you believe in curses?
Yes. Curses is real. It's real.
Is there much about curses in the Bible?
Yep.
There is right there.
There is here, yeah. About 100 times in the Old Testament. About 100. About 100. 91 verses and 101 references, I think, is the number on that.
Isn't there places where God curses, like, families and generations for
Deuteronomy there.
Deuteronomy, I mean, it used to be that, like, the for the sins of the father, the children, seven generations would have to pay.
Those things are there.
There's curses, also be like consequences.
Well, there are consequences of a curse. They have consequences. We could be here all day talking about all of the things that are mentioned that were a curse in the Old Testament. The guy wanted Balaam to curse Israel as they were coming through, and he wouldn't do it because God wouldn't let him do it. Vilification, execration. Yeah, everybody knows what that means, right? that's what the term is talking about. Execration is a pronouncement of evil, basically. It's the kind of thing a prophet or that God might do. That so what I looked up, I was looking for curses that are talked about in the Bible that might actually apply to us. Do you think that there are curses that would apply to us?
Yes.
What might they be?
Women travail in birth, in childbirth. That was a curse.
I guess that still is, in fact, isn't it?
Men working for a living.
Yeah, sweat of that brow. Yeah, brow sweat is also a...
Thorns and brambles.
Well, that's the original curse.
The earth still moans from curses, you know, the sin.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, still in... Hell is enlarging itself, by the way. If you don't know what volcanic activity is... It's there. It's in Scripture. Yeah, Vicki?
I was thinking of 2 Chronicles 7:15, where it says, if we will confess our sins, that God will heal our land and forgive our sins, if we'll turn from our sin and heal and mend our ways.
Okay.
That we're still under that, the curse of our sin, that we're, because we haven't confessed our sin and turned our ways, that, you know, but if we do, he will heal our land.
Okay.
And forgive our sins.
Well, curses are real, for sure. Let me give you, go to Proverbs 3 and verse 33. That was been 2 years ago at least, so I don't expect you to remember it. Proverbs 3 and verse 33 says, the curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesseth the habitation of the just. Now, all the way through Proverbs, you're going to find the wicked and the just, or the wicked and the righteous mentioned. And we have studied enough over the last couple of years to know what he's talking about. Who are the wicked?
Unsaved people.
They're lost people, unsaved people. And the righteous or the just are people that back then were looking forward to Messiah paying for their sins and trusting him for that, and otherwise known as saved people. So the curse of the Lord... You say, man, does it seem weird to associate the Lord with a curse? It's a little weird for us, considering where we stand. But it's a real deal. Now, let's go also, go to 28. We'll go ahead of us now, and verse 27. And that says... He that giveth unto the poor shall not lack, but he that hideth his eyes shall have many a curse. That ought to change the way you think. Amen? Yeah. Now, I was looking for curses that where that word actually would apply to us in our own life. And those two, I think, do. I think they're pretty well self-explanatory. Malachi is the other place that I found something that would perhaps make us think twice. Okay, Malachi 2 and verse 2. Well, let's read from verse 1. And now, O ye priests, this commandment is for you. Who are the priests? Me?
All of us.
If you're born again, you are a mediator between God and men. You have access to God in prayer. The Bible says that we are a royal priesthood. So I just wanted to get that down, you know, like put that in the courtroom record before we go on to defend here. He said, O ye priests, this is for you. If you will not hear, and if you will not lay it to heart, to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts. I will even send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yea, I have cursed them already because you do not lay it to heart. Now, those priests were not laying God's instruction to heart. They were just poofahing what God told them to do and doing whatever they wanted to do. And if this applies to us, and I kind of think it does based on exactly who he's talking to and how he's laying that out, if we don't give God glory for those blessings, he's going to curse those blessings. Do you ever have a blessing in your life and then turn right around and lose it? I don't know who has not been there. Harley, for instance, raising his hand back there.
Malachi 3, 9 through 11.
Yeah, amen. Matter of fact, Malachi 3, 9 is our next verse. Malachi 3, 9. Well, we better read from verse 6. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers, you are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But you said, wherein shall we return? Like, Lord, I don't know what you're talking about. I didn't do anything wrong. And what's God say? Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? What's he say? Oh, but that's the Old Testament. Oh, wait a minute. What did verse 6 say? What did it say in verse 6 again?
For I am Lord, I change.
Oh, okay. Well, all the tithe is to be brought in mine house, Leviticus 31, it is holy unto the Lord. He says here, see, you are cursed with a curse. You have robbed me in tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you will have to have a garage sale to get rid of some of it. No, that was the paraphrase. That there shall be not be room enough to receive it. Now, you want a description of the curse? Give me a description of the curse. What do you think the curse looks like?
So if you're robbing God of tithes and offerings, you're probably going to lose jobs, you're going to lose income, there's a lot of things.
Stuff's going to break.
Yeah. Joshua?
I watched it on the farm. There's a guy, he's a deacon at a local church. He ran this equipment, was ragged, never had a flat tire, never had an issue. In fact, had a knocking in his big tractor, couldn't figure out what was going on. He'd been running without oil for almost 6 months. Put oil in it, kept running. My dad would buy he didn't tie it off like that. He'd get new tractors, new machines, new tires, driving out through the field, a rebar out of nowhere, stabbing the sidewall of it so you can't fix it. You can buy a brand new tire. Stuff like that happened all the time. Brand new equipment breaking down, and that guy would just come on with his old tractor, beat up, knocking, just cutting right along. I saw that
my
whole life growing up.
Yeah. Just waving as he goes by.
Dang it,
I know it. Look at that like it's just coincidence.
Yeah.
You know, Lisa, you had your hand up.
I did. The principle of tithing is like the first thing after baptism that God commands that a born again person do. Because it's about honor to God. Because
He
owns everything.
Yeah, none of this is about money.
And so it's ever. Like the difference between having just enough and having
more than
enough to abound to every good work.
All right. If God takes away the curse, how does he do it? It's in the next verse. Verse 11. I don't like this because I can't say this word very well. And I will rebuke the devourer. How are you supposed to say that? Anyway, that's a word that was not meant to say. The devourer. I will rebuke the guy that eats all your stuff up and breaks everything and causes... And I will rebuke that wicked guy, that wicked one that destroys the fruits of your ground and makes your vine cast her fruit before it's ripe in the field, before the time, saith the Lord of hosts. If God rebuked the devourer, that solved a lot of problems for us, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, that solves a huge lot of problems. We are so out of time. I don't know where it went, but Lisa, go ahead.
I remember once you had done something, I don't know, we gave God extra for something, we just wanted to, and we did, and then you were in Lowe's, I think, with one of the guys that worked for you, and getting a drill or something, and a bathtub for a job, and when you went up to the, you bought the guy the drill as a gift, and when you got up to the register, you didn't know it, but the bathtub was marked down, the amount of the drill that you got for Guy.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Stuff like that happens so often.